title I've given my message today is Dead to Sin, but Alive in Him. Dead to Sin, but Alive in Him. Tells you a lot right in the title, doesn't it? I ask that you stay tuned. Let's have a word of prayer before we open the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity you've given me to deliver a message, Lord, that will glorify you, that will get people to think, Lord, and to if they're not sure of their salvation even, Lord, that they'll wonder and they'll make sure even today, Lord. For Lord God, it's such a gift that comes only from above. I pray, Lord God, that each one who hears this message today will be glad that they tuned in, and when all is said and done, you'll be lifted up. May Jesus Christ be glorified. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Okay, and away we go. Dead to sin, but alive in Him. Now, this message you are about to hear, it's not an epic story, but it goes beyond epic proportions. Does that make any sense? Yes, it does. It's not an epic story, but it goes beyond epic proportions. It's not like it's not a gangster to God story. It's not a story of man's overactive imagination around bright lights and saintly images dancing in his head. Nor is it of God whispering in your ear, although He did talk to my heart, as He does at times, and will talk to yours. But don't expect any grandstanding, you know. You see, God doesn't need the grandstand. He is the grandstand. He is the grandstand. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Of course, you know that. Back in the beginning, even before Eden, God was preparing the hearts of men that they might understand the great power and the holiness of their Maker, and to make others aware of His greatness. In the Genesis account, there are many examples given. Perhaps the first mention of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Genesis 22, verse 7 and verse 8, the mention of a Savior is given. Listen carefully. Genesis 22, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? In verse 8, and Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for the burnt offering. God will provide Himself. Do you get it? You will. You know, the faith of Abraham is so intense. Never was there a greater faith than that of Abraham. Without knowing the end from the beginning, Abraham fully trusted in God, even to the point where he was prepared to offer his own son on the altar for sacrifice. Are you prepared to offer your son as a sacrifice? Well, you don't need to think about that, because the sacrifice is already made. Jesus Christ did it. So don't think about it, okay? If you want to think about it, think about the great salvation we have because of this great sacrifice of Jesus Christ at Calvary, at Jesus Christ. The very heart of this text, although many, many years before Calvary, it points to the very event when God's only begotten Son would be used as a lamb for the slaughter that would take away the sin of the whole world. Let's read verse 8 again. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. The key word here, of course, is Himself, Himself. God will provide Himself a lamb. And you know who that lamb is, of course, right? Jesus Christ. God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I accentuate the word Himself because in reality, God the Father and God the Son are one. Inasmuch as Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one, right? And then there was Moses. Let's move on to Moses. Oh, I love the story of Moses. We all know about Moses, right? Right? Sure we do. God talked to Moses from what? What was it he talked to him from in the beginning? The burning bush, right? A burning bush. In Exodus, we're going to read something from Exodus. Exodus 3. Exodus 3, verses 2 to 6. If you'd listen, please. I'll read them for you. Exodus 3, verses 2 to 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, unto Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. In verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And finally, verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He was afraid to look upon God. Well, I'll tell you, I think we'd all be the same way if we saw a burning bush by the side of the road and the Lord started talking to us out of it. Would we run? I don't know. It's hard to say until it happens, isn't it? Wow. Beautiful words, beautiful words. And Moses was so blessed that God would talk to him. It didn't have to be in person. It could have been any form he wanted. But out of a burning bush, God had chosen a simple herder of the flocks to go forth and fulfill many miracles that were intended to draw mankind into a relationship with our powerful God. Tell me, people, did Abraham and Moses really have a choice? Or did God cause them to obey? When God speaks, you know, even the wind and the waves of the sea obey, don't they? Many are called, but few are chosen. You get it? Many are called. We are all called, but only few are chosen. And now, don't get that wrong. The few that are chosen doesn't mean that we who are called cannot get saved either. It means that when Christ went to the cross, he died for the sin of the whole world, which meant we were all called to repent and believe in the gospel. That's what it means. So don't say, well, if I wasn't called, I'm not going to get saved. Well, with that kind of attitude, you probably won't. Because we're all called unto salvation. It's up to us to repent and to believe. It's up to us to repent and believe. When God speaks, even the wind hearkens unto him. It's here that we see that God really, really looks upon the heart. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. Now, this may be hard to some of you to digest and can be a real test of your faith. You see, before you were even conceived, you got that? Before the seed of life was planted in your mama's womb, God not only knew if you'd be a boy or a girl, but add this also to your would-be amazement. In God's knowledge, his foreknowledge, he knows who, get this now, listen carefully, he knows who or whom, whichever you want to hear, he knows who, God's great foreknowledge, he knows who will have a turning to Jesus Christ for salvation. He knows. Now, allow me to explain that a little bit further. Because there are many, as you know, there are many who simply thumb their nose at the Word of God. They thumb their nose. They just can't be bothered. And the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Calvary, yet they believe that if God really wants them to be saved, he will make it known to them in their heart. And they have no choice. They have a choice, yes. God's not forcing you to come to his son. He's inviting you to come. And why not come? Look at the sacrifice that has been made. Oh, I mean, we have to understand that first of all, don't we? The sacrifice and the penalty for sin has been paid. All we have to do is believe in it. Repent and believe. That's all we have to do. They don't believe in Calvary. Well, they don't believe that Jesus died for their sins. It will be made known to them if they do believe. They will have no choice. I cannot emphasize this enough. God's foreknowledge always, this is so important, God's foreknowledge always precedes his predestination. Have you got that? God's foreknowledge always precedes his predestination. In other words, he knows way back then whether you're going to get saved or not. And when he knows you're going to be saved, then he predestines you. Okay? The ones he knows are not going to get saved, they're not predestinated. All right? Have you got that? So don't go prancing about with the attitude that you have no control over your own salvation. We must never, never second guess God. Never. Every living soul was born with free will. Free will. God doesn't decide who will and who will not come to him for salvation. If he did, then would we be as human beings? No, we'd be human robots, so to speak. Governed to act and think as he wills for us. Like God could say, well, I don't want him to get saved. I don't want her to get saved. But he wants the whole world to get saved. Christ died for the sin of the whole world. Not for this group over there or that group over there, but for the sin of the whole world. It's up to us to take advantage of it. If this be the case, that we can live as we please and still serve whom we please, then we would have two masters. And God makes it clear that you'll either hate one, love the other, or love one and hate the other. The scripture is very clear on this issue. It's very clear. If we, I want to go over to, the question really is that if God is so loving, then why would he allow, and I hear this all the time, why would he allow babies to be born or deformed or, you know, or deaf or mindless? Why? Why would he allow this? A lot of people say that and they use that as an excuse for not coming to him. Well, that's why I want to go to Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes 3, and read verses 1 to 8, a time for everything. Would you please bear with me? I'll just go through this, give us a better understanding of what, you know, what to expect, what what God wants for us and how we can prepare ourselves? Okay, Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. Verse 7, a time to rent, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. And verse 9, a time to love, and a time to hate. Oh, and a time of war, and a time of peace. Whoa, what powerful, powerful words. Well, verse 1, what does it say? A time for every purpose under the heavens, right? Every purpose under the heaven. Have you heard of the child that was born badly deformed and pleasant to look upon? Huh? Oh, how your heart was filled with doubt. I hear it all the time. If there really was a loving God who had control over all the universe, then why would he allow these things to come about? A deformed child, a mindless babe. Why? What did they ever do to be born with these deformities? Nothing. And how can they know God when they have no knowledge? Are they to be cast aside? Are they of any purpose to mankind? Can they be used to glorify God? Can they? The answer is a simple yes. Yes. Lest we forget, we are born in our sins. Psalm 51:5 tells us, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And over in 1 Kings 15, verse 3, King Abijam, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart, God doesn't decide who will and who will not come to him. His heart was not perfect with the Lord. The Lord is God, as the heart of David his father. But like I said, God doesn't decide who will and who will not come to him for salvation. If he did, then he would be, as I explained before, we would be just like, we had no choice. We couldn't do anything about it. We're doomed to be lost, or we're doomed to be saved. Whatever. Look at it whichever way you want. But God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Now, that's very clear, you know. You can't argue with that, really. Yes, yes, the answer is yes. Yes. You see, all that God hath made was to glorify himself. As evangelist David Ring so aptly put it, who has an affliction of himself, when speaking of his own disability, he said, "God don't make no junk." Hallelujah, how right he is. So, right away you ask, well, pray tell, how can a mentally handicapped child bring glory to God? Well, the answer is simple. Through compassion. Through compassion. Does not a mindless, sickly kitten drag itself across the floor until it hits the wall? When you see this, are you not filled with compassion for that tiny kitten? Then think on this. If we can show compassion and love for a tiny kitten that goes neither to glory nor to the pit, then has God not placed in our hearts His perfect will and tremendous understanding that we should see the greatness of His love toward us who are created in His image? Shouldn't we? Huh? Yes, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn and a time to dance. Yes, our holy and loving God does have a reason for all that He allows and all that He will cause to be placed before us. The understanding will come when the Master is ready. When the Master is ready. That's why His Word says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, face to face." My friends, God's ways are not our ways. They are His ways. And He knows the end from the beginning. Everything that He creates has a purpose. From the tiny gnat to the colossal dinosaur, they all have a purpose. We must live by faith. 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 Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. King David had faith when his baby child had died. After much grieving, he said with great surety, "He shall not come to me, but I shall go to him." What was he saying? He was saying that his child was in heaven. Because of God's mercy, the child would not go to hell. The child knew no sin. But David would go to heaven and see the child there. Of course, David had to repent, yes, which is what he did. So he knew he'd see his child in glory. That's our first clue that tells us in the Scriptures that children, little babies, those who are below the age of accountability, are not stricken to perish in hell. They automatically go to heaven. Automatically. That's God's love for us, God's great love. Such a proclamation that David made provides two great truths. One, the child was in heaven and could not return to David. And number two, but David was confident, I say, he would go where the child is, and that's heaven. This tells us that the children below the age of accountability go to heaven. Go to heaven. That's God's mercy. And also, that regardless of your sins, you too can go to heaven if ye but repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In conclusion, as the title of my sermon so aptly puts it, oh, how can you not hear it? How can you not stay with it? Dead to sin, but alive in Him. Dead to sin, but alive in Him. We serve a holy and righteous God. And because He is so, He commands us to follow the directions that He sets forth for His Word. Or in His Word. Like Father, like Son, not always acceptable with God. And when the sins of the Father are manifested in His children, God can and will usually have the final word. Allow me to close with Proverbs 22, verse 6. So important. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I hope this message has been a blessing to you and easy to understand that we really, really do have a loving God, a merciful God, who does not want to see anyone perish and go to hell. But remember, God is not only compassionate, but he's also holy and righteous. And where there's holiness and righteousness, evil, sin cannot enter in. That's why Christ went to the cross at Calvary and gave himself a propitiation for the sin of the whole world. Not just for you and me, or our brothers and sisters down the road, but for the whole world. He died for the whole world, that the world in return might come to him for salvation. As always, I ask that you would take maybe a moment and go to my website. It's tillyhcomes, T-I-L-L-H-E, tillhecomes.net, Battle Site for Christ. It's the original Battle Site for Christ. So don't let anybody sway you and say, oh, I know another guy has a website called Battle Site for Christ. Mine is the original, I assure you. But anyway, nonetheless, God's blessings are there. You can see my resume. You can read it. I think you'll be convinced that I went through some difficult times, but I also came up as a child of the King, and that's all that matters. May God bless you fully. Thank you for listening. Amen. Amen.